The reading's taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where have you put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can I add my thank you and my welcome to you all? Thank you to Andrew Waters for leading our service and Wendy Pagden, our curate, for the reading. Jesus is alive. That's the message of Easter. And in our gospel stories, the message went around like wildfire. People running to tell others all about it. So I thought, let's have a go at that today. Let's see if we can pass the message on. Why not? We've got two roughly equal halves here on the two sides of the church, haven't we? So I wonder if, Wendy, would you like to go to the back row and pick on a poor person each side to be our starter? Would that be all right? And then what we're going to do, at the word go, I want you to grab the hand of the person next to you and say, "Jesus is alive." And then that person, grab the hand of the next person and say, "Jesus is alive," just like Chinese whispers, and see which side can get it to the front first. Okay, who can get the message down to the front first? "Jesus is alive" is the message. Okay, on your marks, get set, go. Shout it out loud, "Jesus is alive." Let's hear it. Pass the message on. Lovely. Grab the hand of the person next to you. Hold on to their hand. Shout, "Jesus is alive." Pass the message on. Oh, I think the left-hand side's winning here. Way! Well done. Only about two people behind on the right. Well done. Yeah, but the left-hand side just made it. Brilliant. You passed the message on. Jesus is alive. Now, question. What does that really mean? What does that mean for us today? One of the Psalms talks about shouts of joy and victory in the tents of the righteous. Well, yeah, that's what we've just been doing, isn't it? Jesus is alive, a shout of joy and victory in the church. There's actually been a bit of a Twitter storm this week. I don't know if you follow Twitter and so on. People venting their frustration on the internet about all these Christians posting Easter messages of status and so on in jargon language that only they can understand. Shouts of joy and victory in the tents of the righteous. That's what it is. But much of the rest of the world is mystified by this. What on earth is it all about? Because a lot of people just want a long weekend break, don't they? A spring break with plenty of chocolate and perhaps cheap beer in Tesco's. I don't know, perhaps you saw that fuss on the internet as well. Tesco's put up an advert saying, great offers on beer and cider, Good Friday just got better. And a load of people said, oh, hang on, that's a bit offensive, isn't it? Well, is it offensive or is it just crass, tactless, whatever? For many people, the reason why Friday is good remains a bit of a mystery, frankly. And today, for them, is just another long weekend. So what does it mean that Jesus is alive? The Apostle Peter, preaching in the Acts of the Apostles, he said this: the Jews killed Jesus by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. And, says Peter, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins in his name. And then, of course, Wendy read to us the story from John's Gospel, chapter 20. I wonder, do any of you here remember a moment of panic when you lose a child, perhaps in a shopping centre or a supermarket or something? Has anybody had that experience in an airport? Goodness me, a lot of you are very careless, aren't you? Yeah. Now, I can remember that. Can you remember that experience? Yeah, I can once, actually. You turn around and they're not there. Where have they gone? Where are they? It's a real moment of panic, isn't it? Peter, John, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him. A moment of panic for Mary Magdalene. There's an image, a picture of Peter and John here running to the tomb to check it out, to see if they can find the body of Jesus, running down the road, and the tomb is empty. Well, to tell the truth, it wasn't quite empty, because the burial cloths that they wrapped Jesus in, heavy with 75 pounds of valuable myrrh and aloes, preservatives, those were still there on the slab, weren't they? Still wrapped in place as if they were round the body of Jesus, but the body inside them had vanished. Just like a balloon once the air has escaped from it, just flat on the slab. Now that's odd, because if grave robbers had broken into the tomb, then they would have taken the valuable bits, the spices and so on, the clothes. They would have left the body behind, because the body wasn't worth anything to grave robbers. But here, the complete opposite has happened. And John, running to the tomb, peers inside. He records carefully exactly what he saw. It must have been seared onto his memory from that moment when he looked in. What does it mean? They didn't really know. John tells us that he saw and believed, but they didn't really understand. What's it about? And then, when Peter and John have left, Mary stays behind. And Jesus appears to Mary, to a woman. In court at that time, a woman's testimony was invalid. She wasn't allowed to be a witness to anything. And yet, Jesus appears first to her. Baptist minister Nick Lear, who used to be at Colchester Baptist here, he offers a little asterisk footnote at this point. He says, some later and less reliable manuscripts include these words, "He's behind you," chuckled the angel. Boo! Actually, I don't think the angel did say that. But you can imagine the sense of fun, actually, and delight. They don't yet know it, but the best thing ever has happened. Mary's crying and weeping, and through her tears, she doesn't recognise who it is at first. Well, you wouldn't, would you? Three days before, she'd watched him die, hadn't she? She turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realise that it was Jesus. He was the last person she expected to see. He looked the same, I'm sure, it is the same person, but he looked somehow different too. Actually, everyone who saw him said that. It's the Lord, is it? I think it is. But he looks different, doesn't he? Ah, unless I see the marks in his hands. So Jesus did all the familiar things, didn't he? He broke bread with them. He ate fish with them. He walked and spoke with them. And they gradually realised it is the Lord. He has risen. What does it mean? What does it mean for us? Well, I think it means that we're on the winning side. We're on the winning team. We thought we were losing 3 days ago. We watched Jesus die, like all those other failed messiahs, rebel leaders against the Romans, and they hung him on a cross and crucified them. But now, he's alive. Jesus is alive. In our world today, perhaps especially in modern Britain, it sometimes feels like Christianity is losing, that Christians are on the losing team. The tide of faith is steadily ebbing and going out, isn't it? And sometimes it feels like we're stranded in a small rock pool, and even that is drying out gradually. But this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is fact. You can't lose this. Like, say, winning World War II, you can't lose it. It's fact. It's happened. It's fixed. And people who deny it simply haven't looked at the evidence. Like, I don't know, like those who deny the Holocaust. Or if somebody said that we didn't really win the World Cup in 1966. They just haven't looked at the evidence. This is fact. It's happened and it's fixed. Jesus is alive. And that means, well, it means a lot of things, actually. It means, for example, that we too will rise from the dead. Because what happened to him happens also to all those who are in Christ, all of his followers. Bishop Philip North said this week, sometimes it seems like we're in a mess, like there's nowhere to go, like there's no future for us. Easter, though, tells us something different. The message of Easter is a very simple one, said the bishop. Jesus is alive. And if he's alive, then we can be in contemporary friendship with him. And it's that friendship which can turn around our lives and offer us again and again a new beginning. When we sin, for example, there is forgiveness. When we live with pain, there is healing. When our lives seem to be heading nowhere, there's a fresh start. When we die, there is new life. This Easter, then, seek afresh the Jesus who burst from the tomb. He's alive. And we can know him as a friend. And in that friendship is a wonderful fresh start. For me, it's that friendship with Jesus, knowing him from day to day, which is the great game changer, the life changer. I'm going to pray a prayer now, and if you'd like to pray along with me, then please do so. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, you are alive today. We thank you for Easter. And I pray that you would come to me in my day-to-day life, that I could be your friend, that you would be my Lord and Saviour. Come and be a part of my life today, for Jesus' sake. Amen.